This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with me, Sherwin Hughes, talking about traveling and vacationing and the African-American traveler. We are a significant industry spending almost $150 billion a year on travel, vacation, and leisure. Also a good segue to what's coming to Milwaukee in a couple of months, the Black Travel Summit. This is a group of online content creators that travel all over the world, and they showcase the experience of traveling while Black. They give incredible recommendations on hotels and restaurants and attractions, and culturally specific things that are offered in destinations all over the world. A little background about them. Last year, they were in Rio de Janeiro. They usually travel internationally and showcase destinations all across the globe, but for 2026, they've decided to pick a domestic location, not New York, not LA, not Miami or Chicago, not even Houston. They're coming to Milwaukee, and I want to know from you, what experiences should we, those of us who are from here, provide to people, some of whom have never been here before? So we did they did a networking thing. I met some of them last year. So some of the folks with the travel summit, not the whole group, but a few of them came to Milwaukee to do some press and to take a couple of like tours of like Bronzeville and a few other attractions so they could get a taste of what they would see while they are here for the 4-day exposition. It's taking place at the Baird Center. In fact, I even have their itinerary in case you want to participate in some of the different workshops that they have talking about travel and tourism, et cetera, et cetera. Day one, October 15th, they check in at the Hilton, and then they're having a 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. expo. It's off-site, so I don't know if they're not listing the venue. It's called the Black AF Experiences. And then from 10 a.m. until 4:30 p.m., there's the Black Travel Film Festival at No Studios. Then there's a VIP reception at the end of that first night from 7 p.m. until day two, which is October 16th. That's a Friday. And I will be having the folks from the Travel Summit on the show. Some of them will be in studio. Some will probably be remote. But we're going to talk to them about their experiences here in Milwaukee. The second day, October 16th, the Black Travel Summit has the Black Travel Alliance, a wavelength for creators from 11 until 2, from 4 p.m. until 9 p.m. is the expo at the Baird Center. And then from 7 until 9 p.m. also at the Baird Center is the opening reception of the Black Travel Summit. And day three, Saturday, October 17th, from 7:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m., essentially all day, the Wellness Lounge will be at the Baird Center from 8:30 until 9:30. There's breakfast in the ABC Ballroom Foyer at the Baird Center, 9:30 until 1:30. There's a speaker series also in the ballroom at the Baird Center from 1:30 until 2:15. There's lunch being served from 2:30 until 4:50. There's going to be breakout sessions from 7 until 10 p.m. Black Travel Awards Gala. Oh, they're going to do it big here in Milwaukee. And day four, the last day of the Black Travel Summit, which will be on October 18th, there from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. There's going to be a pitch competition, and then the closing reception will be from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. Now, keep in mind, while they are here in our wonderful and glorious but also conflicted city, they're going to be documenting everything. They're going to be posting it on Instagram and on TikTok and really showcasing for the world what Milwaukee has to offer, just in total, but also specifically for a Black cultural experience. And I think this is an amazing opportunity for us, because if we can show the best parts of our city for those handful of days in which they're going to be here, that may bring more black investment to Milwaukee. It may bring people from other places that might want to experience our hotels and our restaurants. And overall, this is good for us. We want travelers and we want tourism because they spend money. And when they spend money, they're paying taxes. And it's those taxes that we use as revenue for our roads, our bridges, our schools, our healthcare, et cetera. So if we can provide a worthwhile experience to these folks, it could be worth its weight in gold. But here's what's important to me. I want black entrepreneurs to be able to take full advantage of the Black Travel Summit, not just for the people that are coming from October 14th through the 18th, but people who have yet to come, who've been thinking about Milwaukee, but never had a reason to proverbially pull the trigger on traveling here. Because quite honestly, I'd recommend Milwaukee over Chicago, because you can do more in a shorter amount of time and spend dramatically less money. And I would say you probably can have a higher quality experience. Because Chicago, you'll get murdered. You go off of Cicero. They'll leave you where they find you. Okay, in Milwaukee too, but we'll just tell you not to go to certain places at a certain time. There should be. Maybe we're not there yet. But if the Black Travel Summit does what it usually does, it really increases the flow of African-American travelers to any city in which they have their summits. We can have a whole new entrepreneurial offering. If you are an African-American and you are looking to come to Milwaukee for whatever reason, maybe you're traveling here professionally, for business, for work, or if you just want to have a little getaway or a little vacation, and you want an authentic Milwaukee experience, but also something that is culturally relevant for an African-American, we could put together an itinerary. That is what this organization could do. It's almost like a, not a chamber per se, but like a tourism agency, but specifically for offering an African-American cultural experience. But here's what the best part about that would be. It wouldn't just be black people wanting to have an authentic black cultural experience. There are probably white people or Asian people or Hispanic people from other parts of the country that might be from more racially progressive areas that really have an interest in exploring the cultural offerings that exist in American cities. I think this could be a fantastic idea. So anything that we can do to take advantage of our uptick in travel and tourism, especially to encourage more African Americans to come here, because I want to reverse the brain drain. Far too many black folks that have lived here their whole lives and they know the city very well. They might have a deep affection for the city and a passion for the city, but they can't get ahead, or the opportunities are diminished. They got their education here. They went to elementary school, high school, college here, but then they take all of that knowledge that they have and all of that skill set and they go somewhere else. They go to Austin, or they go to Houston, or they go, I don't know, to Sarasota, Florida, and they go to Washington, D.C., they go to Atlanta, and all of that knowledge and all of that entrepreneurial spirit that they got from here, they go and they take it somewhere else. I want people to come back to Milwaukee. Let's bring it back. But the right kind of people, not you Chicago people. I talked about that last week. Chicago, when people leave Chicago and they move out of Illinois, move out of Chicago, their number one destination is Milwaukee. I don't know how I feel about that. Because about a generation or so ago, we had the same kind of migration from Chicago, Illinois, but it was for the wrong reason, and it brought a decrepit kind of culture that I think Milwaukee is still under this dark cloud of that previous generation of Chicagoans that came here to try and take advantage of Wisconsin's very nice and generous welfare system. And they messed it all up. And I'm not blaming some of the behaviors that we see right now today on that negative Chicago influence from the mid-1980s and the late 1980s. But some of those people have grandkids now. You understand it? And that influence has remained in those homes and in those families and has poisoned our well here. Milwaukee is a very nice place where everybody is nice. We're nice to each other. But then you get these people that come from other places and they bring their terrible culture and they taint what was once so beautiful. read some of these YouTube comments if I dare. And I do want to share with you the details of the Black Gen X traveler, the Black baby boomer. But more importantly, Black people in the service industry. So Black Travel Summit is coming in a couple of months. We got time to prepare and put together a series of itineraries for people, which I am willingly going to share with them, because when we start doing interviews with people from the Black Travel Summit, I'm going to say, hey, Black Travel Summit people, because I got to be real nice to them because I want them to blog positively about Milwaukee. I'll say, you know, my listeners have put together a wonderful set of events and places and spaces and cultural attractions that you should visit, but I worry about the level of service they are going to get, because the Black Travel Summit people may not necessarily identify themselves. If they did, I think that they would be guaranteed a higher level of service. But some of them are just going to come in looking like regular old people, okay? And they may get confused for just a regular old Milwaukee person. And what I don't want is for them to go into a stereotypical Black-owned business or Black-owned restaurant and get poor customer service. Now, let me say this. It is more the exception than the rule that customer service at a Black-owned establishment is poor. However, the exception happens a little more frequently than it should. And if we can level set and as a community not accept any customer service that is below average, because you got to go out of business. I'm sorry. If you are unable to train your staff in the science of hospitality, now some of us are bad too. We're bad customers now. It goes both ways. We can be very, very ornery and disrespectful customers because some of us, not all of us, but enough, have this prevailing attitude of, I have money, I'm spending money, I can do whatever I want, I can say whatever I want, I can act however I want. No, you can't. No, you cannot. In fact, the more expensive and the more exclusive the place is, like a restaurant, I'm thinking of one restaurant in particular, and I was at this restaurant on Tuesday night. I made a bunch of observations. It's a relatively expensive restaurant and one of my favorites. Oh, by the way, the fish fry that I showed you guys on my social media a couple months ago, that's not the Packing House. That's not. That fish fry place is a secret. A bunch of y'all said, oh, that Sherwin's secret fish fry spot is the Packing House. No, it's not. My secret fish fry spot is still a secret. Everybody can go to the Packing House, because if I put the location in the post, then that's not my secret. I'm not telling y'all, because you're not going to ruin this for me. Why can't I ever have anything? And let me tell you why I'm not going to tell you. I told y'all not to fight at Bastille Days. What did you do? Why you do this to hurt me? I know you did it to hurt me. I said, do whatever you got to do. Tear up Water Street, tear up Brady Street, get it all out of your system. Anywhere else you go, don't bring that nonsense to my Bastille Days. And what the hell did y'all do? And that wasn't a fight. It was a rolling brawl. It went from block to block trying to hurt me. So I'm not telling y'all. Telling y'all where my fish fry spot is. I tell y'all where my fish fry spot is. Y'all go to the damn fish fry spot and start fighting in the fish fry spot. Ain't no way. We have to make sure that we are providing the best customer service experience. But also, as a diner, the more expensive and the more exclusive the restaurant is, and I know that some people, they consider that status if you can spend, I'm not going to tell you the restaurant, but it was a young brother. He was probably maybe his mid-20s, late-20s, wearing like a jean outfit, and he had like designs and stuff on the jean jacket and like rhinestones. It was probably very expensive, and he was wearing like skinny jeans, and they were hanging completely off of his butt. Like, you could see his underwear. And he was with a relatively attractive woman. She probably was also in her like maybe mid-20s. She's wearing a very nice dress. She was dressed appropriately, but they both smelled so profoundly of marijuana that it was embarrassing for everybody in the restaurant, because when they walked in, They made the entire restaurant smell like marijuana. And I could tell that they were big spenders because of where they sat. And at this particular restaurant, there's a very small section that is reserved for like VIPs. And you got to spend a boatload of money to be seated in this section. So if you walk into this particular restaurant, it's always going to say reserved. All the tables in this little section are always going to say reserved. Even if, because you can't make reservations for those seats, they have to put you there, you see. And they put this brother in, he's sitting next to me, and just made the whole place. And then they got to drinking, and they got all loud. The more exclusive of a space you are in, the more sophisticated you need to act. So we have to learn. And I think a lot of us just haven't learned this. There are places where you can go and you can be loud and you can be obnoxious because there are places that cater to that. They want that. That is the mood and the atmosphere of certain locations. But when you go to the upper echelons of places, you got to act accordingly because these restaurants, one of the reasons why they're so expensive and so exclusive is because they have curated their own culture, just like they have curated what I believe is one of the best menus in the city. But here's where I take issue with one of my friends, because I got a restaurateur friend that recommends, like, this dude knows food unlike any other human being I've ever met. What I think is the best restaurant in the city of Milwaukee, he thinks is subpar. So he and I fight about that. So why don't we do this? I'm going to take a break, come back. Todd, we'll make it a short break for you. We're going to talk to Todd on the other side, get his thoughts, feelings, and opinions about things. I still ain't talked about these damn black millennials. I mean, what is this here? Where's the damn black millennials? Do we care about the black? We'll do it all when we come back. Don't worry, we got time. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back shortly.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
For parents, choosing the right school is one of the most important decisions you will make. At Milwaukee College Prep, they don't take that responsibility lightly. At Milwaukee College Prep, your child is more than a student. They're a young person who they get to know by name, by strength, and the areas where they need the most support. Together as a family and a school, they'll work together every single day to help your child learn, grow, and build the confidence to reach their fullest potential. Milwaukee College Prep would love to meet you and your child in person to share more about how you all can work together. Don't wait. Seats are, in fact, limited. Apply today at MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com. That is MilwaukeeCollegePrep.com or call 264-6000, 414-264-6000. Todd, how are you? Thank you for holding.
What's going on, man?
I'm just
hey, I was
out.
Calling about that fish spot that you holding back on.
No,
man, you need to get that spot up, man.
No, I hope you got something else to talk hey. About, buddy, because this is gonna be a short conversation.
Hey, I'm just laughing because you said that they was fighting at Bastille days, and you know it was a rolling brawl, man. I just bust out laughing, man. That was just so hilarious to me to hear you. They are rolling brawl at Bastille Day, man. I'm just dying over here, man.
Well, you're dying laughing. I was crying. I was very sad.
I'm like, man, this is what's destroying Milwaukee. These fights at these events, man, it's crazy. Brady Street, I watched it unfold online, man. It's like it's ridiculous, man. How you can go out there and just people just, oh, we gonna meet at Brady Fest and we gonna fight at Brady Fest. I mean, why are we doing that, man? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, man. We need to stop that. And that's the reason why I stay in the house. I don't go nowhere. Because we don't know how to have fun no more. We can't just go somewhere and act like we got some dang sense. Buy a few trinkets, something to eat, and look at the pretty ladies walk by. What's wrong with that?
That's all we trying to do. Look at the pretty ladies walk by.
Look at the pretty ladies walk by. I mean, God. But now, they just coming out to fight. I don't understand it.
I think a lot of them boys, they're gay. That's what it is. Because if they weren't gay, they wouldn't be wanting to fight. They'd be trying to talk to girls and get their phone numbers. I think a lot of them, either half these boys is gay. That's what I think.
Hey, I'm looking online, and most of these fights that I see are females.
They're gay, too.
Man, it's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, man, I was just calling about that fish spot, man. I see you ain't going to give it up.
And why would I say it now? Like now while you're on the phone and everybody and their mama is listening. Ain't no way. Because if I mentioned it, y'all would flock there. And the last thing that I want is I can't get a table at my spot. Because all of y'all taking up all the good seats. Goodbye, Todd. I'm not telling you.
Packing house ain't that bad, though.
Well, there you go. Go to the packing house. Tell them I sent you. Ask for Chris. Say Sherwin sent me. They'll take care of you.
Have a good one, man.
All right, you too. Yeah, go to Packing House. They got good prime rib. Got lunch specials. Got live music on Wednesdays and Thursdays. They got real nice outdoor seating. Got a nice little patio. Got a little fireplace on the patio. It's nice, now. Going on in the Packing House. Be like, hey, Sherwin sent me. I mean, it ain't going to get you nothing free. Don't be trying to do that because some of y'all try to use my name to get free stuff. And it's actually worked. Stop doing that. Hi, Sherwin sent me. Oh, he did. Here, have a free entree. No, don't do that. Stop getting free stuff in my name. Y'all over here cheating the system, man. Be nice. Bunch of cheapskates. And here's the other thing, now. If I give you a recommendation and you say, oh, Sherwin told me about this place, I swear to God, you better tip or I'll come to your house. Don't use my name and then leave a 9-cent tip. I'll come get that tip money out your ass if I have to. Don't do that. Don't make me look bad. Like, oh, wow, Sherwin recommended a lot of people come to the restaurant. Oh, the whole dining room is packed. The whole tip total for the whole black part of the dining room is $9.48, but ordered $18,000 worth of food and drink. Don't do that. You are paying for the experience. You are paying for the service. You're paying for somebody to clear the table, fill your glasses, bring you more salt, pepper, bring you more ketchup, bring more A1 for the steak. Don't put A1 on your steak. This is not Applebee's. You want to put A1 on a steak? That's the steak you make at home, not a restaurant steak. If I see somebody putting prime A1 steak sauce on prime rib, I'm going to take that steak off of your plate. I'm going to eat it in front of you. You don't want me to eat your steak in front of you? Don't put A1 steak sauce on it. These damn black millennials. Where are they at? Let me see. Black Gen Z. We did black millennials already. Gen Z appears particularly price sensitive. MMGY reports that affordability is one of the stronger destination considerations for African Americans born in the Gen Z generation. They're also coming of age in an environment where inexpensive airfare searches, Airbnb-style accommodations, social media travel communities, and instant destination information make travel substantially easier to organize than it was for previous generations of the same age. Black Gen X. Gen X often gets overlooked in discussions dominated by millennials and Gen Z, and that is a mistake. Gen X, now largely in its peak earning and wealth building years, roughly ages 46 to 61 in 2026, the broader American travel market frequently shows extremely strong travel participation among Gen X African Americans. For example, one U.S. Travel Association /Ipsos poll found that 61% of Gen X adults plan leisure travel within 6 months, higher than the younger generation surveyed at the time. So, Black Gen X is likely particularly economically valuable to destinations, even when younger travelers generate more social media buzz. And then there's the Black Baby Boomers. Black Baby Boomers behave differently, according to the article. MMGY reports that word-of-mouth recommendations from family and friends are especially influential amongst black boomers. They also place relatively heavy emphasis on affordability and value. Older black travelers also grew up much closer to the era when American travel itself was actually constrained. The last edition of the famous Negro Motorist Green Book was published only decades ago. Consequently, some older black travelers came of age when questions such as, will we be welcome there, were considerably more consequential than they are for many younger travelers. The historical experience helps explain why safety and hospitality remain unusually important elements of black destination selection. And I'm glad that they highlighted the word hospitality, because one thing that I do worry about is when we invite the Black Travel Summit here, they'll be here in October, middle of October, from the 14th to the 18th, that they may potentially get lower levels of service. And Milwaukee is going to wear that on the blogs that they post. And we don't want that bad connotation about the service that they may receive in going to black-owned attractions, locations, restaurants, etc. But there's a reason for it. I do want to have a conversation about hospitality. So we are underrepresented in the service industry in jobs and positions that interact directly with the public. If you go out a lot in Milwaukee, and if you go out downtown in particular, absolutely black servers exist, but we are such an incredible minority. Typically, if there's African Americans working at top-notch restaurants or highly rated restaurants, or maybe even some of these Michelin rated restaurants that we'll find out about early next year, the black people are in the kitchen washing the dishes, or we are bussing the tables. We are not oftentimes hired as servers and as hosts and hostesses. Now, absolutely, we do get hired sometimes, but our numbers are much lower. So it's not really a part of our culture, waiting on tables and working in the restaurant industry. In some white families, and I know this, I mean, it's an anecdote, but I know this firsthand, the grandmama was the waitress, and the mama was a waitress in college, and the daughter going to UWM or going to Marquette, she's a host or a hostess at one of these little bars or restaurants, whatever. So it's cultural for them, where it's less so for us. Let's talk to Kenya. Hi, Kenya. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm good, Sherwin. I had to call in again when you talked about the packing house, because every time I hear about the packing house, it's a trigger. Based on the guy being on your show before talking about the packing house and how wonderful it was, and, you know, Sherwin always went there. Uh-oh. It was a Valentine's Day, and my guy had to work, so he was going to take me to lunch for Valentine's Day to miss the crowd. When we got there, it was hardly anybody in there because it was lunchtime. And we were waiting and waiting, and they kept ignoring us and kept on ignoring us. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, Sherwin mentioned this place. So finally, the lady, she took us to a seat. I can tell you exactly what we had. I had the seafood platter. He had the walleye, almondine. We had two appetizers. So during the course of the meal, we even asked the lady for some extra napkins. And the lady said, I already gave you enough napkins. Oh. And she walked away. So then after that, we were so upset. The bill was, and then we gave her, with the tip, we just left $120. I said, give her money, because otherwise the next black person come in, she will spit in their food, because she did not like. I'm sorry. This is. And then I actually called back to ask to speak to the manager. Is it Chris or Mike? Chris, the owner, because he was on the radio.
Yeah, it was Chris. When was this, Kenny? Okay. Was this a while ago? How long ago? This was some years ago.
Yeah,
right?
It was. And that's why I said I would never go back. It was in 2019.
Oh, that was a long time ago, Kenny.
Okay, but I'm just saying, when you say if you get bad service, why you would never go back to a place, like I said, that lady got $120 that day. I told you what we had. When I tried to call back the restaurant to ask for them, they kept saying, he's out of town or he's on vacation. They never would let me talk to him. And so after that, I said, okay, that was my bad experience. One bad experience. Hey, maybe things have changed, but I've never been back to, never wanted to go back. And like I said, he went, and I'm not young. I'm 72. So we didn't come in there acting up or anything like that, but it was the worst experience. I never, even to say I gave you enough napkins, but like I said,
when the minute. That was what made it. How was the food? Was the food okay, Kenya?
I didn't say anything about the food. She got $120, but service goes along with the food. I mean, they cook everything the same.
All right.
They cook everything. So, like I said, walleye almondine, I had the seafood platter, we had the appetizer. But like I said, when we walked in the door, they actually, and it wasn't as if it was packed, they kind of, I had to say something before somebody finally acknowledged we were there. And then I threw your name in there. I said, oh, yeah, Sherwin said this was a nice place, and I heard it on the radio. And then they finally set us down, but she set us down. But like I said, a napkin is, okay, if you got a couple of napkins and you eating, what's wrong with giving us a couple of napkins? Nothing. But like
Kenya,
I said, you talk about like
kids.
I'm in
complaint.
That generation that tips.
Fair enough. Thank you for letting us know.
So no packing house for me. And like I said, I never got to talk to Chris because they wouldn't let me talk to Chris.
I'll take
Thank
care
you.
Of it. Thank you, Kenya. That's 7 years ago now. Hold on now. That's before COVID. That's a long time ago. First of all, she said she left $120. What she just said she ordered cost about $120. But okay, fine. If everybody experienced 2019, she's like, oh, I'm 72. Yeah, but Kenya, when you went, you was in your 60s. You know what I mean? That was a while ago. I know that he has cycled through quite a bit of servers. I'm telling y'all, I know this firsthand. It is very difficult to find competent restaurant servers because the restaurants it's not a big percentage. Some servers are bad news, but the good ones stay because those managers and those owners will not get rid of a good server. And so sometimes you just got some Rudy poos, some poop butts. Well, I'm sorry, Kenya. You had a poop butt. Oh, look at the phones lighting up. Hold on now. Don't you call here complaining about the packing house. Not today. I got to take a commercial break. Y'all over here tripping. I got to take a break, right? I'm over. Okay. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Y'all want to hurt me?
Do you really want to make me cry?
Why you want to make me cry?
Precious kisses, words that burn me. Love has never asked you why.
Are your finances low, your mindset off track, or are you ready to get into real estate? Tune into The Journey with Coach Erica every first and third Saturday from 11 a.m. until noon on 1017 The Truth. It's all about mindset, money, and real estate, helping you take the next step toward building a better future. Are you looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in tomorrow at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer and Bailey for What the Business Is. Every Friday at 8 a.m., you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. on 1017 The Truth. On Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. Call us something else. I swear. All right.
Here we go. The available evidence does not support saying black servers provide poor service because black people have little experience waiting tables. In fact, the research points to a much more complicated feedback loop involving occupational representation, training, customer expectations, racial perceptions, and tipping behavior. Now, I'm going to talk about this because when our friends from the Black Travel Summit descend on our city, and I don't even know how we got such an honor because they usually travel to international destinations, but this is an opportunity for us to showcase the best of who and what Black Milwaukee has to offer when we welcome weary travelers. I just don't want them to post on social media and to do their videos and their YouTube videos of poor experiences that they received in Milwaukee, because ultimately that's going to hurt us, hurt our image, and potentially diminish more African-American travelers coming to Milwaukee. And ultimately, we want people to enjoy Milwaukee and come back and to move here and to buy houses and to get jobs here and to pay taxes and to help diversify the population that we have here. We've experienced a lot of what we call brain drain. A lot of people lived here their whole lives. They grew up here, went to school here, but then they leave and they take their talents and their earning potential somewhere else. We want to bring that back. And with an organization like the Black Travel Summit, this is our opportunity. We can't mess this up. We're going to be on stage now. We got to show our best behavior. Could y'all not fight, please? Listen to me. Listen. You can make it up to me for fighting at Bastille Days. I'm still very angry about that. Okay? Let's do this. No fighting anywhere in the city from October 14th to October 18th. Now, here, I got to make a deal with y'all because y'all like to negotiate. I can negotiate. I like to negotiate. I'm a shrewd negotiator. I'm a fair man, too, at the same time. I know it's some ass you want to kick. I know it is. Here's what you're going to do. You get their asses on October 13th, or you got to wait till the 19th. But from October 14th through the 18th, even if you see them, even if you see them, I know it's on site when you see certain people. Here's what I want you to do. When you see him, because you might see him between the 14th and the 8th, you might catch him slipping. And you know when you catch an op slipping, you want to take the opportunity. Here's what you're going to do. This is what you're going to say to the ops. You're going to be like, look here, I caught your ass slipping, but Sherwin has said we can't fight anywhere in the city from October 14th to the 18th, but I'm going to catch you on the 19th or later. I'm going to catch you before Halloween. I'm going to get in that ass, but I'm going to spare you today. Okay, because we got the Black Travel Summit going on, and Sherwin said he don't want nobody fighting while the black folks is here with their cameras rolling, because we don't need the Black Travel Summit documenting street brawls. That's a bad look, so I'm just asking you. So tell you what, what's today? 20th? Tomorrow's the 21st? See if you can catch them slipping this weekend and just get that ass whooping out the way so we're free and clear in October. If you catch, I probably shouldn't encourage that because then y'all actually will fight this weekend. Just no fighting between October 14th and 18th. And then after that, kick ass again. Kick that ass. There is a legitimate topic, but we should separate the measurable facts from the casual claim. The available evidence does not support saying that black servers provide poor service because black people have little experience waiting tables. The research points to a much more complicated feedback loop involving occupational representation, training, customer expectations, racial perceptions, and tipping behavior. Number one, black Americans are underrepresented among traditional restaurant servers. The latest Bureau of Labor Statistics race occupation data show that in the year in which we have the most recent information, which is 2024, there are approximately 1,786,000 waiters and waitresses actively employed in the United States. The occupation was 76.6% white, 9.5% black, 7.4% Asian. So three quarters of your waiters and your waitresses are going to be Caucasian. Only 9.5% of your waiters and your waitresses anywhere in America are going to be Black. That is significant because that is a very small share of our community that has actually versed and experienced in hospitality and on waiting tables. So imagine being a Black entrepreneur. You want to start a restaurant and you yourself have never waited tables and don't understand the very delicate dance that you have to do when you're dealing with hungry people that are sometimes drunk. That is not for the faint of heart, because I know I'm a monster when I'm hungry. I'm usually, when I'm drunk, I'm nice, though. I'm usually a sweetheart. I get, you know, I'm very lovey-dovey. I don't even know which, why y'all be tripping? I'm not an angry person. But if I'm hungry, I come in a restaurant and start kicking over tables. It's not me, it's the hangry. You know how it is when you get hungry and angry. I'm a monster. If I ain't eating, I need a plate of food. And I just start taking food off of people's plates. But it's, you have to be sensitive, though, to people when they're hungry. And it's a skill set you have to learn. I'm going to take a break, come back, talk more about the lack of experience that we have waiting tables and why our service might be subpar. Because we may be comparing the service we get from a Black waiter or waitress to a Caucasian one who has been working in the industry, and members of their family have been working in the service industry for generations. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
It's only because someone requested it.
Use it too. Just got my hair done. I make them brand new. Going out tonight, feeling sexy in my mood. Pink blush on my face, fine lip liner, lip gloss new. Now he wanna lick my bum, but clock my raw to talk, talk, talk. Got him going crazy for that poo, na 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 na. I get what I want, I got that ooh shalaka laka. He do what I say for that ooh ma da da da.
Uncle God says the people who do all the fighting don't know how to act, don't listen to talk radio. Well, you never know. I'm putting my sentiments out into the universe, and maybe one of them hears it. Because some of the YNs are riding with their grandmothers and their mothers right now, and their fathers and uncles, and they listen to the show. Or maybe they're in an Uber. Shout out to the people driving Uber and Lyft right now that's got 101.7 The Truth on. I'm talking to the passenger right now. Yeah, you. Demetriano. Don't be fighting in October. Okay? Serious. Don't. We got to put forward our best face. We have to look all dignified and sophisticated, because these people are coming to Milwaukee for the first time. And here's the thing. It's going to go one or two ways. People come to Milwaukee and they love it. They can't get enough of it. They want to come back. They have such a good time. Here's the craziest thing that they say about us. I never understood this part. Oh, sure, when I was in Milwaukee, or I'm here for the first time, ooh, you Milwaukee people are so nice. I'm like, where? We hate each other a lot. A lot. It was a tornado in West Dallas, and I can't stand West Dallas people so much. I was like, they deserve it. That's how bad we are to one another. Was it in West Dallas? Oh, well, karma. Oh, darn. When people come here, we must know out-of-towners. I think that's what it is, and we're just nice to them. Because, you know, we want them to enjoy their stay. But Milwaukee people, think about this. The fights and the assaults and the car thefts and, God forbid, all the other violent crimes that take place, are Milwaukee people doing that stuff to other Milwaukee people? It's not, oh, someone from Chicago was shot and killed in Milwaukee. Oh, someone from Cleveland was carjacked at gunpoint in Milwaukee. No, it's us just beating the hell out of each other. But when we find out somebody's from out of town, we're like, oh, welcome to Milwaukee. We hope you enjoy your stay. Please, by all means. Black workers participate substantially in food service, but are considerably less represented in front of the house, customer-facing waiter/waitress occupations than in some other food service jobs. So we just don't have the experience dealing with customers like that. And then there's an interesting distinction. Black workers aren't absent from food service and restaurant work generally. They are more heavily represented in some other food service occupations. For example, the Bureau of Labor Statistics in 2024 show black workers at approximately 16.4% of cooks, compared with 9.5% of waiters and waitresses. Why that could matter for the service culture argument, waiting tables is not simply taking an order and delivering food. A strong server develops a fairly sophisticated collection of learned behaviors, and I'm going to give you those learned behaviors right now, because waiting on tables, I could never wait on tables, wait on some of y'all, and then if something isn't right, if the food isn't right, and then you get mad at me and start yelling at me, because some of y'all think you can treat your server like they're less than human. Don't do that, because if I'm waiting on you and you start yelling at me, goddammit, I'm yelling back. Now I'm taking my apron off. You know what I mean? Now we about to get into it. Now we about to do some October 14th fighting. Don't do that. Reading the customer's personality quickly is a skill the servers need to have. Knowing when to approach and when to leave the table alone. Understanding the pacing. Suggestive selling. Like, oh, you got room for dessert? The more they buy, the higher the bill is, the more your tip. Handling complaints without becoming defensive. Well, that right there is, I don't know if I could do that. Sherwin, I don't like you. I don't like this food that I ordered. I don't like it. Your mama. I know you're not supposed to say that as a server. You're supposed to be like, oh, what can I do to make your experience better? Depends on the kind of mood I'm in. That's not how I would respond. I say, oh, your mama likes the food here. Call your mama. I'll call her myself. Let's text your mama. And then now I'm fired. Making customers feel recognized. Knowing the restaurant's menu by heart and in detail. Managing several tables simultaneously. That's damn near impossible. Understanding tipping, psychology, de-escalating an angry customer, knowing how to communicate differently with different generations, recognizing when a customer wants conversation versus efficiency, maintaining a pleasant demeanor, even when your customer is unpleasant. The Bureau of Labor Statistics confirms that 80% of waiters and waitresses require basic people skills. A lot of us don't have no basic people skills. While 20% require more than basic people skills, virtually all at 98.5% require on-the-job training. De-escalating an angry customer, understanding tipping psychology, managing several tables simultaneously, knowing the restaurant's menu in detail. You know what I can't stand? This is embarrassing for me. If I take a friend to a new restaurant because I want to show them a restaurant. Ask me what you should order. Please stop doing this. This is a pet peeve of mine. Every time I see it, I want to slam my hand on the table. When you ask the server that you don't know from Adam, what do you like? What do you order? They might have totally different tastes than you. They might have food allergies. They might order really weird stuff. Asking a server, it's a trap. Because if you don't know what to order on a menu and you ask the damn server and they recommend something, and if you don't like what they recommend, you're going to try to get it for free because you're going to say, well, they recommended it. Don't do that. Know what you like to eat. You should know what you like to eat because you're fatter than I am. The lunch break is up next.